But one of the important things that we need in life, I think, is to be ready and available. Don't you think? Ready for work, available for work. Ready for our families, available to our families. And as we begin a new year, it seems that this is an important thing for us, to be ready and available to God. We read this verse earlier. It'll catch up to us next year. Okay. Give yourselves completely to God so you can be tools in the hands of God to be used for His good purposes. I mean, what a great goal to have, that God would use us, that we could be available to Him for His purposes in this coming year. God uses all sorts of people. And I want to tell you, and this is just going to be a simple three-point sermon. So here it comes, okay? If you want to be used by God, one of the things that we need to do is that we need to be sure that we purify our hearts. It's not that God's not looking for perfect people, because none of us would make it, right? I still haven't seen anybody's hand go up when we ask for those perfect people. Well, actually, I did see a couple hands one time. But we know that it's not true. But God doesn't necessarily, He does not look for perfect persons, but people with a pure heart. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil God can use for His purpose. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. We've talked a lot about, since the summer, about God's grace and how, there's nothing that we could do that would make God love us less. And God's grace is immense. And God's grace, He is forgiving. But God also wants us to live pure lives, to be pure people, to live as people with integrity, to be as people who live with truth in our lives. God can use all kinds of people. He uses really shy people. He uses outgoing people. He uses really smart people, and He uses people who aren't so smart. He uses different races. He uses different ages. We see that all the time. He uses men. He uses women. God wants to use you. Have you ever, as you start this year, do you sit here and think, wow, God wants to use me this year? That's huge, isn't it? I mean, that's an amazing thing. God wants to use me this year. God will use really plain vessels, and He'll use really decorative and ornate vessels. He uses vessels that are big. He uses vessels that are smaller. But there is one thing that God does not use, and that's a vessel that's dirty. God wants us to be pure of heart, to be clean. Do you remember when Joshua and the gang were going to cross over into the promised land? And before they crossed over, God said to them, God told the people through Joshua, He said, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Have you ever thought about that? Whenever you see God saying that He's going to use some people, He said, purify yourselves, make yourselves right. The point is that God is not going about using vessels that don't want to be used by Him, that are not pure of heart. He wants people who are pure of heart. I think, is that me that's doing that? I'm getting a boom. Do you hear that? Yeah, well. Well, the Lord really wants you to hear this. I believe that God is going to do and is capable of doing great things in and through this church. Right here in Kelowna. We're not one of the big ones, but we are a church that has an impact and can have an impact. And God wants to do that both here inside the walls and also with our neighbors. I mean, it was great at Christmas because we had about 10 people who came from the NA thing, NA group that meets here, and they came for Christmas dinner with us. And that was really sweet. I mean, that was nice. I mean, there is an impact with people when you start to do things. I believe God wants to do that. I think God wants to use us. But you know what we need to do is we need to be people who are pure of heart. And this church needs to be a church that's pure of heart for God to use us in that way. Well, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, I think it's real simple. The starting thing, the starting word that we look at is confession. Confession. If we confess our sins to God, He will keep His promise and do right. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our wrongdoing. God says, here's your part. Confess. And for my part, I will purify. It's hand in hand with God. As we confess, He will purify. We don't confess and all of a sudden start our salvation over again, but we need to be able to relate to God that which is in our lives and to confess those things. You know, the word confess, it comes from a Greek word which means homologia. And it's a simple word. It simply means, the word homo means the same. I mean, we have homosexual, homogenized milk. It's the same, right? It's all one kind. And then the word logia means to speak. It just means to speak. And so what we're saying, it literally means that word, it means to speak the same thing about my sin that God says. To identify with God and agree with Him and to say, God, you're right. You know, these things in my life just aren't right. It wasn't just a faux pas. It wasn't just a mistake. It was actually sin. And we just need to call it for what it is. God's not looking for us to go out and beat ourselves up, but to identify with Him and to agree with Him about those things that are wrong in our lives. I want to suggest to you that as a starting point in this kind of thing, what you could do, don't do it for someone else because that's not a good idea. For yourself, you need to sit down and say, okay, God, I want you to just show me, what are the things between you and me? What are the things that are keeping my life from being pure before you? And sit down on your own, in your own password-protected Word document, so no one else is going to find it, no one else will know but you and God, and sit and start to list the things that you need to clarify and you need to identify with God when He says these things aren't right in your life. And start writing them. And write them out. And you know what? I think God will tell you. Just sit quietly and wait. Maybe not the first time. Make a point of it. Doing that once a week for a while. And just go back to that document and type out those things that you think, wow, this is what's keeping me. This is what's keeping me from God. And then you come to the point of saying, God, I want to admit to you. As this scripture verse says, I want to confess before you. And that's how God can begin to purify your life. So you start to write down, okay, who have I hurt? What guilt do I have in my life? Who's hurt me that creates the resentment? What am I worrying about that gives evidence of a lack of faith? What have I been jealous of? Just cleanse me. That's the starting point. That's the starting point. And all of us can do that. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to accomplish those things. And you do that. And then you agree with God. You agree with God. Confession. These are the things, Lord, that I need to set right. Purify my heart. Well, the second thing that we need to do is that we need to sanctify our body. Wow. I mean, we all know that sanctify is one of those theological terms that nobody really knows what it means. But what it says is that it's a statement to dedicate for some special purpose. Something is set aside for a special purpose. Most often in the Old Testament, they had sanctified vessels that they did offerings with and things like that. But now we are the vessels who need to be sanctified. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be sanctified for His purposes. God says, there's something I want you to do to specifically dedicate to me. And it's your body. It's your body. The Bible says, don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. That's what God wants us to do. That's what God wants us to do. Sanctify your body. What could that mean? Well, I think quite simply, in a very tangible and practical way, it means get in shape. If you want God to use you, I mean, I'm not selling passes to the gym here. But if you want God to use you, you got to be in the kind of shape and condition where God can use you. You know, one of the things that happens is if we don't take care of ourselves, we sort of get lazy and lumpy and we don't have energy, we don't do the things. Psalm 119, we read, you made my body, Lord, now give me the sense to heed your laws. We need to be people that are able to heed what God wants us to do. And I want to suggest, this is really practical, I want to suggest to you that one of the things that we start to manage and we take care of is the balance between eating, sleeping, and exercise. You know, one of the worst things that people can do is that they can have lack of sleep. I mean, we all know that. When we don't get enough sleep, we don't think well. We're prone to do stupid things, either by accident or by lack of clear thinking. And so we need to be people who get all the sleep we can get. And I know that that's difficult. I mean, I see a little baby here, and I say, oh, you know. But give thanks. That's why God gave little babies to young people. Because you can catch your sleep easier at other times. Yeah. In the third letter of John, chapter 2, we read, God says, I'm concerned about your health. I want you to be healthy. And that's important for us. And I don't want to make light of this. I mean, you know, this is not just a happy talk about getting into shape. It's a reality. It's a spiritual discipline too. Don't ever kid yourself. You know, if we're not taking care of ourselves, we're not taking care of the physical side that God wants us to take care of. He wants us to take care. Psalm 127:2 says, it is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, for God wants his loved ones to get the proper rest. You know, it's amazing when you start to look for scriptures that remind us about how important it is to take care of our bodies, how clear God is. He's given us our bodies. For some of us, the most spiritual thing that we could do is to go to bed and have a sleep. Do you know that? Isn't that amazing? And yet sometimes we think, well, if I'm going to have a catch-up nap here, we start to feel guilty for it because there's all sorts of things that we should be doing. You know, but God wants you to get your sleep. Don't do it right now. But God wants you to do that. Some of us have to work on the food factor, eating the right stuff. I mean, I don't know why God made food taste so good. I mean, surely he could have just done something that would just kept our bodies going and so that we didn't overindulge or indulge in the wrong things. But you know what? God wants us to do that. God wants us to take care of our bodies and eat the right kind of food. Athletes practice discipline and self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So we have to ask ourselves the question, are there things that we're doing that are going to take us away from gaining that prize, that eternal prize? The wrong attitude about our bodies is, it can be summed up in three things. The wrong attitude is if we neglect it and we don't take care of it. The wrong attitude is if we reject it and we keep saying, God, I wish you'd given me a different body. I mean, you got it. That's it. That's all you got. Don't reject it, because God can use you. And the third one is that the wrong attitude is to perfect it. You know, to spend all our time almost like a narcissistic thing, that all we want to do is take care of our bodies. And we see people that get caught up into that one. But God created your body. Jesus paid for your body by giving his life. And the Holy Spirit dwells in your body. So we need to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of ourselves. That's so important. The third step I want to suggest to you today for this new year is that we need to purify our hearts. We need to sanctify our bodies. And this one might surprise you, but I think it's an important one, is that we need to simplify our lives. So I have more time to be used by God. More time to be used by God. The Bible compares our life to that of a marathon race, not a sprint. Don't ever kid yourself. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It goes on and on. And we read in Hebrews, we should remove anything from our lives that would get in the way and hold us back. Wow. I can think of all sorts of things in my life. I enjoy them so much, I don't really want to get them out of the way. But I recognize that one of the things, if they take control of my life, they keep me from doing the things that God wants me to do. We need to get rid of all these things. You know what? If the devil can't make you do bad things, he'll make you busy. Did you ever hear that one before? If the devil doesn't make you bad, he'll make you busy. We'll get so busy with the good things that all the important things that we could be about get lost. We have to come to the point, as we seek to simplify our lives, that we have to say, I'm not going to try and do it all. I can't do it all. But I want to do what matters most. And so I'm going to target those things. I've met many, many people who say, oh yes, I want to be used by God. I want to be used by God. I want to, you know, let God direct my life. But you know what? God will never do that. And you want to know why? They're too busy. They've got all their own agenda going. They've got all their own things going. They've got all their own plans, their dreams, their ambitions. And they don't have the time to do what God might put in front of them. They don't have time to do maybe the simple things where somebody comes across their path and they can take a moment to stop and do something. So we have to ask ourselves, what do I need to let go of? What do I need to cut out? I want to suggest that there are some distractions. There are distractions in our lives. And sometimes they're so bad that they take us away from what God wants us to do. Anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. That's a pretty harsh statement. But remember, God is looking for people that are pure of heart, who are not distracted from what he's calling them to. And he says, don't let yourself be distracted. What's one distraction? What can distract you from the mission that God has for you in life? Well, one of them that I think of quite often are the expectations of other people. You know, all these other people need me to do this and want me to do that. You end up running in a million directions. Probably the most important word that you could learn going into the new year, if you want to follow what God wants you to do, is the word no. You know, when everybody has a wonderful plan for your life, if you do this thing, we need to be able to say no. We need to be able to say no to the expectations that other people might lay on us. You know, it might be a friend, it might be a partner, it might be, you know, who knows what it could be. Television can be a distraction. Anybody ever You know, I bet there are a million wives in Canada that think their husbands are distracted by hockey during the Christmas season. You know, maybe. Maybe there's a million husbands who have wives that are distracted by hockey. But, you know, it can be a distraction. Hobbies can be a distraction. You know, we got to keep at our hobby. One of the biggest distractions that we can have for most of us is our past. A distraction that brings up guilt. It brings up reminders of things that other people have done to us. Resentments that simmer and boil in the back of our lives. Maybe things that others have done. We don't want to let go of the guilt, the grudges, the grief. And as a result, you know what happened? You get stuck in the past. And you live there. And it's a distraction to what God wants you to do going forward. You've got to let it go. You've got to get on and look to the future. And it's like that the title out of that movie, you know, Back to the Future. You've got to get rid of what's out back there so you can get on and get going. We read in 2 Timothy 2:4, as Christ's soldiers, don't let yourself become tied up in the affairs of this life, for then you cannot satisfy the one who has enlisted you in the army. Can you imagine that if you were in the army, if you were doing something in the army and you had the set goals and the set mission that your commander had given to you, and somebody came along and said, hey, let's take a break and go do this, and all of a sudden you're AWOL and you're in the brink, or in the, is it the brink, the jail? And brig, that's what it is. You're on the brink of going to the brig. You know, I mean, we would never consider that. And yet when God calls us to do something, if there's a distraction or something comes up, you know, we're sometimes quick to let it go. So what do you need to let go of? What do you need to let go of? Well, everything. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. It means a lot of things are not necessarily wrong, they're just not necessary. And we need to be aware of that. We need to pray for wisdom, that God would help us to identify the things that really need to be taken care of. Those who want to come with me must say no to the things they want, pick up their crosses and follow me. We need to be people who can do what Christ has called us to. The last thing, number four. I said there were only three. See? You were listening. Number four is simply, I need to apply what I already know. You know, I run into people all the time who want to say, well, I need to pray for God's will. I want to understand what God's will is. I need to search God's will. And they determine they're going to go away and find God's will. But you know what? For 99% of us, we already know what God's will is for our lives. And that is to be faithful to Him. All the rest of it just happens. But He wants us to be faithful to Him. And our people must learn to apply themselves to doing good deeds and helping others who have urgent needs so they won't be living idle, unproductive lives. That's what we read in Titus. God says, I want you to live a life of significance and a life of meaning. And we do that by applying ourselves to what God has called us to. Where do you find yourself in that? Isaiah said, learn to be good, work for justice, help the down and out, stand up for the homeless, go to bat for the defenseless, in Isaiah 1. Every one of these things we can do here at FBC. You don't have to go far away. You don't have to go a long ways away. We can do that here. We can take care of people. It's not about location. It's about dedication. It's not about where you are. It's about how dedicated you are to what the cause is. The Bible says that Christ carried our sins in His body on the cross, and that's what we're going to celebrate. so we could stop living for sin and start living for what is right. Fulfilling your mission in life. That's God's vision for you. God's purpose for you is not about going far away, but it's really seeing you do what you need to do right here, right now. Stay true to what is right, and God will bless you and use you to help others. Becoming a believer and living as a faithful believer is not just for us. We got to get away from that thing. I'll never forget, and I always love it, and Gary, you'll know it because you've said it before. What were the first words out of the purpose-driven life? And where Rick Warren says, it's not about you. That's right. It's not about us. We need to get over that. And we need to recognize that what it is that God is going to use us as an instrument, as a tool for his purposes, and that's what he wants. Let's pray as we come and join around his table. Father, we get so caught up and so confused and so busy in our world that sometimes we lose sight of what it is that you want us to do. And Father, you just want us to purify our hearts, to be people that are pure in our commitment to you. Father, you want us to be people who take care of these bodies you've given to us, to make them useful vessels for you. And so we pray, Father, that as we begin this year, that we would do that. Father, we thank you for all the things that are before us, that you're calling us to. We just pray that we would indeed be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite those people that are going to come and serve to join with us as our worship team comes and leads us.